move about in a generation that thinks that everything is random. But Lord, you tell us in your word that you have a plan to prosper us, to bless us. Lord, there's no greater blessing and no greater prosperity than to know you as our Savior and as our Lord. And as we come to the great challenges of our lives, the mountains that seem to loom before us, that we just seem to have no strength in and of ourselves, Lord, to conquer, to climb, to be at the peak, we stand before you and we feel overwhelmed, even this morning, even for students looking towards their school year. The syllabuses have come out. Lord, the work is before us. Seems overwhelming. Seems impossible. Late hours, long hours. We desire to commit that all to you, Lord, because we don't know in our own strength how we will be able to raise our families, feed ourselves, put a roof over our head, to continue on. Lord, unless you walk beside us, unless you give us strength and you give us power, you give us boldness, Lord, we ask that you would strengthen us for that. And Lord, where we've experienced grief, where we've experienced sorrow, a furrowed brow, as the song says, Lord, we give that pain, we give that suffering over to you. Lord, we know that you are working within us a greater weight of glory that we don't fully understand in this side of eternity. But Lord, we know that you will give us clear vision one day, that you will answer all the questions. And Lord, for right now, you call us to faith, belief, and trust and obey. We commit that to you today as we hear Pastor Ray speak to us. Bless him, bless his message on Joshua, the first chapter this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. If you guys don't know, just last month I brought a team to Siem Reap, Cambodia for a short-term missions trip. Let me share you a little bit about this country. Siem Reap, or this place. Siem Reap is actually one of Cambodia's 24 provinces. It is also the province's capital city has the same name, Siem Reap. Physically, it is the 10th largest province in Cambodia. It is home to over 1 million people. It houses the famous Buddhist Angkor Wat architectures, right? But what we might don't know is it also is home to a Vietnamese minority. And that's our job there. This past month, we went to a Vietnamese church, a small church, about 70 people. We did a language exchange camp with those kids there. We did some organizing, we did some cleaning. But what we did some organizing and cleaning is because the local missionaries just received the church from the previous missionaries 3 weeks prior to our presence there. So, in a sense, it is a transition from old to new. Kind of like Joshua taking over the leadership role of the Israelites after Moses, which is our main focus for today, the call of Joshua. Now, Joshua is one of the most fascinating books found in the Bible. It tells of a story of an Israelite leader, how he led by listening, by obeying, and following God, and led a group of nomads to fight into the land of Canaan. A story that how he leads the Israelites to attain the promised land that was promised by God to them. On the other hand, it's a personal story. It's a story of promise, of great promise, and great expectations that God has for us, and how he provides the tools, the gifts for his people to fulfill the promise. But when we put this Joshua's name against more well-known names like Abraham or Jesus or David or Paul or Peter or even his mentor Moses, he's probably he's not as well-known against these names. But that doesn't mean he's not important. before going to his personal, deep into his personal story, just the meaning of his name, just the meaning of Joshua should interest you. In Hebrew, the name Joshua means Yahweh is salvation, or Yahweh delivers. The name Jesus is the English derivative of the Greek name of Joshua, which also means Yahweh is salvation. Now, let's think this through. After the death of Moses, God personally appoints Joshua to be the next leader of the Israelites, to deliver his people into the promised land, flowing with milk and honey, from death to life, from a barren, lifeless land to the abundance of milk and honey, so rich that it is endless. Does it remind you of someone's life? Perhaps Jesus? God sent Jesus to be human. He died on the cross, nailed to the cross, died. 3 days later, Jesus was resurrected, nailing our sins to the cross so that we may have life. This is the New Testament's land of milk and honey. But I guarantee you, Joshua's had his struggles, his doubts, his anxiety, his uneasiness in his heart while receiving this job. Now, if you may, please stand with me together today and read the scripture. It is taken from 1 Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 9. And ready? 1, 2, 3. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. So I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to your ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book, the law, always in your lips. Meditate it on day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. In the beginning of Joshua, before anything, before mentioning anything or anyone, the book talks about the passing of Moses and that God has personally appointed Joshua to be the successor of Moses, the new leader of the Israelites. We can see this is considered a promotion for Joshua. Perhaps he can start thinking of a new toy, maybe a new car, a new house. Or is it? Or is it a job that is to clean up after the Israelites' mess? According to Deuteronomy 1:2, it takes 11 days to travel from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea, which borders the land of Canaan. With the benefit of doubt, let's say there were children, there were senior people, they were handicapped, they were the hurt people, I'd give them a 30-day trip from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea. But we all know that the Israelites wandered in the desert for 40 years. That's 40 years. That's 14,600 days. If you divide that by 30, it is almost 500 times. They used almost 500 times the time to travel to finish their journey. If we do the math according to Deuteronomy's 11 days, they wasted 14,589 days. That's over 1,300 times the duration of time. This is because of Israelites' unfaithfulness, their disobedience, their idolatry worship. They've wasted 40 years of their lives. They brought it upon themselves. These are the ungrateful people that Joshua needs to lead to the promised land. A group of people standing at the gates of Canaan, at the borders of Canaan, staring into the city, staring at the land full of milk and honey, the land that God has promised to them, but not dare enter because they saw the sheer size, the physical size of the Canaanites. This is God's first task to Joshua, to lead the Israelites, a bunch of rebellious nomads. From the moment from Mount Horeb to the doors of Canaan, Joshua's position has always been the assistant of Moses. For 40 years, he's been his right-hand man, his wingman, his vice president. For the Israelites, Moses' death was of great pain to them. Despite the 40-year journey, Moses was the one that delivered them out of Egypt, out of slavery. Moses was the lawgiver. He was the one that represented God. He was God's messenger. He was a leader like none other. In the whole book of Joshua, it carefully refrains from mentioning Joshua as the one, the successful Moses. But Deuteronomy 34 verse 10 describes Moses as, "No prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." The title, servant of the Lord, is not to be taken lightly. God personally appoints his servant as leader of his people to do his divine promise, his divine work. In the whole book of Joshua, Joshua was never mentioned as the servant of the Lord. Up until chapter 24, his death, he was mentioned once as servant of the Lord. On the contrary, Moses, in the book of Joshua, was mentioned 40 times. Not 40, so 14 times. Moses, servant of the Lord, 14 times compared to Joshua's one time. In the whole Old Testament, we see that three people has been titled this, acclaimed as this title, servant of the Lord. It's three people. Moses, Joshua, and David. This was God's task, second task for Joshua, a successor of Moses. Now, truth be told, I'm not lying. If 10 years ago you were to tell me in my face that I would be a pastor, not just a pastor, but a youth pastor, and lead a generation of youth like that that would be leaders of tomorrow, I would tell you in your face, brother, you're dreaming. Right? Never in my dreams, in your youth's dreams, that I would want to be a youth pastor. Now, youth, don't get me wrong. I still love you, okay? Now, according to 2017 Lifeway Research, 66% of adults aging from 23 to 30, American adults, revealed that after their 18th birthday, they would constantly miss church for at least 1 year. Reasons including, but not limited to, I moved to college and I decided not to go to church. That means I view my education, my college life more important than my spiritual life, my church life more important than God, if anything else. Number two, church members seem to be judgmental and hypocritical. Brothers and sisters, are we that people? Number three, I don't feel connected to people in my church, right? That means that youths are not feeling valued. They feel unimportant. They're not tasked with important jobs in the church. Number four, I disagree with the church's political and social issues. For example, same-sex marriage or marijuana legalization, or just simply being too conservative. Number five, my work responsibilities prevented me from attending church. That means I view my work, my vocation, making money more important than my spiritual life, more important than God. Brothers and sisters, this is not a matter of what kind of programs church can provide or not. It's about self-gratification, self-indulgence. Be who you want to be. Be whatever you want to be. male or female. That's your choice. This is the things that society today is feeding our youth. Not only the youth, but young adults. But not only young adults, but seasoned adults. Brothers and sisters, prayer, the way of life, the way we do church, is not about us. It's about God. We are not the masters. God is. We are the servants. Moses, servant of the Lord. Joshua, servant of the Lord. David, servant of the Lord. And what do servants do? They obey. They don't ask questions. The only question they ask is, what can I do for you, sir? Right? Your wish is my command. Number two, obedience is commitment and responsibility. The hardest part of being a Christian is not believing in Jesus Christ. Even demons acknowledge the existence of Christ. It's not, even having faith in Jesus Christ is not that hard. Right? Once I accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, I can have eternal life. But the hardest part about Christianity is following, being devoted followers of Christ, obeying God. Love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. It doesn't happen only during your free time. It should be from the moment that you wake up, the moment when your eyes are open, to the moment that your eyes are closed, going to sleep, that we need to love our God with our heart and soul and strength. It's our commitment to our Lord as servants of the living God. God's commitment to us is like a two sides of a coin. One, we are privileged to be God's nation, God's members. But on the other hand, we have a responsibility to God as a nation. And it's the same for God's commitment for the Israelites too. He promised the land to them, Canaan. But the Israelites is responsible to act out their faith in God. Standing at the doors of Canaan, God was going to bless them with the promised land, the land running with milk and honey. God tells Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River and into the land I'm about to give you for free. Lord, God goes on standing in the land that we'll inherit. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, all the way to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. This is the commitment, God's promise for the Israelites. But it comes with a condition, responsibility. And it is this: I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Joshua and the Israelites, with the reliance of God's leadership, they need to step their foot into the promised land. They need to act on their faith. They need to do all that to attain the promised land. Even though the Canaanites are taller, they're stronger, the walls are much more thicker. Maybe they're more handsome, I don't know. But the Israelites and the Joshua need to fight them. As for us, what does it look like for us? As God's promise might not necessarily for us be physical land. Today, God's promise to us is that we, our lives, can reflect upon God's promise, His purpose. It is our privilege to proclaim God's gospel. Now, if God's promise to us is to be part of His greater plan, physical land is also a possibility. This year is Westwood Alliance's 25th anniversary. That's why we're throwing this huge banquet. 25 years ago, God planted a seed in our previous senior pastor and founder, Reverend Sang, so that today we can have this beautiful building, this fellowship of brothers and sisters, this church. Yesterday it was God's promise to Reverend Sang. Today it has become God's promise to us and for us. Joshua led the Israelites by setting foot into the promised land to attain it. Today we need to do the same. We need to rely on God to take our first step, our second step, and third step to attain that promise. But what does it look like? During our short-term missions trip, we were received by three missionary families, the Schmidts, the Nugans, and the Lims. Mike Schmidt and Cindy, his wife, when they were in Canada, they were IT personnel, and then they were a teacher. They had a great future ahead of them. The Nugans, David and Joyce, they served at Ottawa Lions Chinese Church for 15 years with their three children, Josiah, Jaden, and Elizabeth. They were attending Canadian schools. Kevin, he was serving at the Eastern Canadian CNMA District. His wife, Carol, was a human resource person. Their children, 7 and 4 years old. But why? Why would they go leave Canada and go to Cambodia of all places, a third world developing country, with the children, the whole family? According to Global News 2019, best country to live in this world, it is Switzerland. Guess where Canada falls in? Number three. World ranking number three. Best country to live in. Why leave Canada to go to Cambodia? I guarantee you, Cambodia is not ranked number two. But why? It's not because of that. It's because of the cross. It is for God's promise for us, the salvation story. The Schmidts, the Nugans, the Lims, they all want the least reached people. That's the group of people that never heard of the gospel before. They all want these people to have the same promise that they have, that we have. God's promise of salvation. A promise way better than the physical promised land. Land filled with milk and honey. It is a promise that we can dwell eternally with God face to face. Those who are saved by the promises of God, we might not go to any fellowships, not attend any Sunday schools, not even spread the gospel. We sometimes feel that way. We have every right to do that and just become Sunday Christians. But are we content? Are we fulfilled? Are we satisfied with what wasting God's promise for us? Satisfied in neglecting our duties, neglecting our responsibilities as the nation of God. I truly don't believe so. I truly believe that everyone here wants to be a devoted follower of Christ. It's just that we don't know how to do it, or maybe we're lost. Don't worry, lots of people are lost. I was lost. I was just lost yesterday. But now, how do we know that God's plan for us? How do we know that the plan in our lives, how do we know His plan in our lives to do His will, but not our own? How do we know that we're not walking ahead of God? It's simple. Most of you should already know. We just maybe have overlooked it. Number one, read the Bible. A lot of things are listed up black and white in the Bible. If anything else, if it's not answered, it just spread the gospel. That's the undying truth. God's will for you as parents, God's will for you is to be parents after God's own heart, to raise Christian devoted followers of Christ. Number two, pray. Praying, being able to pray to God, praying in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is the biggest privilege we have as Christians. Three, fellowship with brothers and sisters. We have a great privilege in Canada to openly converse about our faith, our walk with God. I guarantee you, God can finds ways to speak through them to you. Number four, broaden your eyes. When God closes a door, look elsewhere, right? If the main door is closed, look at the side door. If not a door, a window, I guarantee you, God has opened somewhere. Now, once you have exhausted all four of the above, I feel that you feel that you still haven't got the answer, then just do whatever you want. You shouldn't be self-blaming ourselves for doing what we want, but we must leave this step to last. Because our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, must be first and foremost. Ask, brothers and sisters. Ask God for His will to be done in your lives. Ask and it shall be given. Use the five steps. Use them to glorify God's will. Obedience doesn't always come automatically after a command. Sometimes we need to ask for the command. But remember, commitment and responsibility is part of our obedience. Now we come to the last point, living out our obedience with the Lord. When we are obedient, when we commit to its responsibility, what is next? What else is there? Joshua 1:5, the promise of God is easily the pivotal point, the climax, the affirmation of Joshua's ministry. This was a huge encouragement for Joshua. Number one, Joshua and the Israelites' efforts, their 40-year venture in the desert will not be in vain, that God will deliver them into the promised land. Number two, God will not leave them. The same way that God encouraged Moses, God in the same way encouraged Joshua. Obedience and God goes hand in hand. Together with God, everything is ready. And if we make a comparison between the conversation of God and Moses in Deuteronomy, chapter 11, and the conversation between God and Joshua found in chapter 1, if you look at the words, the promises, they are one and the same. In the later half of Joshua 1:5, God affirms Joshua, like Moses. God answers Joshua's worries and anxiety about taking up the mantle of Moses and led the rebellious nomads into the promised land. God promises Joshua, saying, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people into inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. From that point that they left Egypt, left the land of slavery to the promised land, leading the Israelites was never Moses, it was never Joshua, but it was God himself. He is Israelites' leader, their God. He's also our leader, our God. People like Moses and Joshua are just the middlemen, but God is the real leader. Back in October, last October, when I first started my ministry as youth pastor, there were lots of times I felt lost, especially on fellowship days. I didn't know how to be a youth pastor. I felt like I wasn't young enough. I didn't feel connected enough. I don't even listen to K-pop. I don't even follow YouTubers. I don't play Minecraft. I barely even play games on my phone. Like, I didn't even know what vaping was. Now I know. Okay. Right? I grew up collecting CDs. I still collect CDs. I know what a VHS is. I know what a cassette tape is. I used dial-up internet. Right? I grew up in a different generation. I remember one Saturday morning, tears were running down my face. I was crying out to God. I was crying out to God. Let me lay you on a secret. Growing up, my grandma taught me, as a man, you shed a blood before you break tear. But I cried. Why? Why did you call me to be a youth pastor? Why did you call me into this ministry? I didn't know how to do this. I didn't felt in the right place. I didn't felt I had the right people around me. You called me out. You placed me in this position. And now you, God, fulfill your promise in me. Deliver me. That morning, Andrea and I were praying the whole morning. I didn't get an answer from God till 6 months later after the church's vision trip to Montreal. And God spoke to me. God said, Ray, why don't you try asking one of the attendees that went to Montreal? So, okay, like, that's any help? So I did. I still remember what her answer was. First person, I'm not sure. I never had done youth ministry before. I just told her, just come out to Impact Youth a couple times. Check it out. See if you like it. If not, then just never show up again. Right. So after that, she came once, twice, third times, and the rest was history. Months later, so many young adults came up to me and said, I want to help on youth ministry. I want to help out in youth. There were so many that I started thinking, asking God, is this too much? At this moment, I have more young adults than I have youth, right? Dominic, Harvey, Solomon, Josh, Steph, Jennifer, Helen, Eugenie, Jono, and Phil. Our Impact Youth Fellowship sponsor grew from 4 to 10, from 0 female leaders to 4 female leaders. And including Youth Sunday School teachers like Monique, Dominic again, Cindy, and Justin. If you're here, I would welcome you to stand up right now. Just stand up. Come on. Yeah, there you go. Right? The Bible teaches us not to be boastful of ourselves, but I can boast you, okay? But you got to remember, this, Westwood Alliance Church, this is your youth leaders. This was God's answer to my cry. This was His fulfillment to His promise. People that God raised Himself. Now, regardless of Israelites, we all need a shepherd to lead us and teach us. Because we're like the Bible, how the Bible describes us as sheep, lost. We stray. When Moses led the Israelites, God was with Moses. When Joshua led the Israelites, God was with Joshua. In Joshua 1:9, if anything, remember this verse. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. In the same way, when we obey, we live out God's will, God will strengthen us. He will provide for us. The Creator of all will be with us. As conclusion, as most of us know, including myself, to be honest, obedience is one of the hardest things to do to God. We're so easily to have our own agenda, our own ideologies, or even pressure from society. For example, Christians from the Middle East suffer different kinds of repercussions because of their faith, because they go through whipping, ill treatment, persecutions, physical persecutions, all that because of their faith and obedience to God. But what about the rest of us? The rest of us that are in Canada, where human rights are valued so much that we became so numb to the gospel. Are we being physically persecuted because of our faith? Now, don't get me wrong. We are blessed to live in the beautiful country, Canada, rated number 3. With human rights. But brothers and sisters, don't let these things numb us. Don't let it sever our relationship with God, sever that obedience with God, towards God. For Christians, obedience is not a choice given by God. It is a command by God. Too often we call out, Lord, Lord, God, God, and we forget that we are servants. Lord, lordship and servanthood goes hand in hand. I cannot call, like, I'm my wife's husband, and vice versa, inseparable. What is a servant's job? It's to obey His commands. That's what Joshua did. That's what we should do. It is our responsibility and commitment to Him and in Him, and His promise is to us is this. Again, I repeat, Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. But remember, brothers and sisters, God is also watching and present when we are not obeying. 2 questions today for you guys to nimble throughout the week. Lately, what has God required you to be obedient in? If no, have you asked God? Why haven't you asked God? In our church community today, there are predecessors like Moses and his inheritors like Joshua. What is your role? What is the role you can play? Right? Today, I'm going to do a little bit special prayer. As we bow our heads down, we make a prayer of sacrifice, sacrificing and our bodies, ourselves to God, to the Lord. Not asking for conversion of faith. I'm sure a lot of you guys are believers of the living Lord right now, but Lord, I pray as we bow our heads down, pray to God. Pray to God that what you want us to do, Lord, what do you want us to do for you, Lord? God, am I blinded, being blinded with all these noises on the side? Are we blinded by all the information beside us? Blinding the truth, your truth, Lord. Guys, I invite you to, recommit yourselves to serving Lord. I don't need you guys to stand up. I don't need you. Just pray to God, speak to God, talk to God. I don't care you've been serving for 0 years, for 5 years, to 10 years, 20 years, your whole life. I don't care. But I'm asking for your recommitment to the Lord. If you are willing to recommit yourselves to the Lord, for the Lord, and for His will, for His purpose, for His kingdom, say amen. Say amen. Not to me, but to the Lord, to God. Pray for His will to be done through our lives, your lives, so that what is 60, 70, 80 years in this earth to compare to eternity? Brothers and sisters, do we want to, when we face, stand at the gates of heaven, when Jesus, God, is asking us, what have you done for me? Have you fed me? Have you clothed me? Are you going to stand there before God speechless? Or are you going to say, Lord, I am your servant. I am that same servant, that servant of the Lord, Moses, Joshua, David, that same servant. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for today. I thank you for your message to us. I pray that our hearts just not be dwell in this sanctuary today. That we are your people. Remind us daily that we are your people. We are your nation. We are your servants. That we are here to serve you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Pastor Ray, for a message of commitment and obedience to God. Please stand as we sing this response song. All of us are kingdom people with a mission. We're not just called to the grace of God just to be called and be saved. We are on a mission. The missions are all different. Each one of us has a different mission, but we are on a mission. But on that mission, God says, do not fear. Do not be discouraged. Be emboldened. Do the will that I have set for you. I can see you, I know you're here. When I can feel you, I will not fear. I will trust in you, and I will not be afraid. And when the battle is close at hand, I know you're with me to help me stand. I will trust in you, and I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. I will trust in you. Oh, I will trust in you. And when the darkness is closing in, and I am running against the wind, I will trust in you, and I will not be afraid. 'Cause when I'm standing upon that shore, and all the battles they've done before, I will trust in you,
and I will not be afraid.
Sing it, church.
I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. Oh, I will trust in you. Oh, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. And I will trust in you.
Receive the benediction upon your hearts today. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever.